Hey, this is Little Karibo, and you're listening to the Random Crap Podcast. It's very random.
Temukan arti nafas ini untuk siapa? Setelah aku dapatkan alasanku kekal di surga. Jiwa pun menentukan hati memilih untuk bicara tentang cahaya yang nyata. Kebajikan merubah dunia. Seperti bintang takdirnya bersinar terang, menjadi harapan tak padam di kelam mata. Tak pernah hilang untuk jiwa yang abadi, meyakini nurani dan putusan tuyuh.
Welcome to this and the Random Crap Podcast. I'm your host, Lee Santo, aka Wild Old Ranger. And tonight I'm joined by...
Hi, I'm Seamus Kelly, otherwise known as Rider Jetfire, and I think this show is keen. No, not really. I'm Ed Volantor.
That was a terrible impression.
It's not supposed to be a good impression. I am in no way Seamus.
Whatever Seamus too. And we're also joined by...
Adam, also known as Statscraft.
And tonight we're going to review, well, Edwin picked this one, so Edwin, if you like to...
We're reviewing Satira Garuda Pima! Which is basically something I love so much, it is not a Japanese tokusatsu.
Yeah.
It's from Indonesia.
Yeah. Sock. Horror. It's from another country, not Japan. And more sock horror. It doesn't suck.
Honestly, I love any time I see a tokusatsu that doesn't come from Japan. That's great.
Oh yeah,
and it's not that I don't love Japan, but they have basically dominated the narrative of tokusatsu for 40 years.
Mm.
So let somebody else make something someone can license.
Yeah, folks. Unlike say the Philippines with their Zaido. All Taiwanese with their Sports Ranger, which, let's be honest, we ain't members of Sports Ranger because three of the heroes die in the final episode.
Hey, you know what? We could have gotten Erexian.
Didn't that actually get good reviews? Or
yeah.
Did that ever get fancelled?
I don't think so. I know it's Korean.
Yeah, I remember Chrissy a few years back mentioned some guy was trying to get, like, a pilot made of an adaption of Erexian because it was apparently quite cheap to get the by the footage.
I'm not really surprised. I mean, it's a show called Erexian.
Go, go, Erexian Rangers!
Yeah. But, yeah.
Coming soon from Alex Bourne.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Man.
Yeah.
But... It's such a cool thing when I see, like, someone else enter the ring.
Yeah. I think that's why I love, like, stuff like Metal Heroes or the Tamaka series or even the Super Fleet series. You know, it's just something different, but it's toku, but it's just something different, you know?
And it's not bound to the same story structure.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a formula.
Mm.
Granted, Atomic Hero Rescue Fire was terrible.
Hey. Oh, defend that so, to a point. Right, sorry folks, technical difficulties, blame fucking Skype.
I don't know, some people want to blame somebody fucking Skype. That sounds a bit difficult.
Probably get electro-sock in return. I mean, how mm-hmm. would you? Would you stick it in a USB port, or would you...
Stop, Lee, stop.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so as we were saying, folks, we are reviewing. Edwin, take it away.
Satira Garuda Pima.
a Indonesian tokusatsu folks, that is a co-production between an Indonesian TV company whose name I can't remember, as well as Isimoya Productions and Bandai.
Sweet, beautiful Bandai plastic.
So it's kind of like Dragon Knight, folks, only it's not Sit.
Well, to be fair, it's also completely original. It's not an adaptation of anything.
Yeah, sorry.
It's got brand new suits and premise and everything. Yeah.
I'm just saying, they were kind of hyping Dragon Knight to be the next big thing, and then it wasn't.
Well, this one, really, I mean, there was almost no hype for this.
It probably was in Indonesia, but not.
Yeah, and this is super 80s, so...
Yeah.
They're not trying all the things that really made Dragon Knight stupid.
Like free clipsos.
Oh, fuck clipsos.
Yeah, but anywho, folks. So, Beamers are so about this, it starts off on Apocalypse from DC Comics, which is ruled by a guy named Rasputin.
Yes, the great alien name Rasputin.
Who sends out his weird robot android hitman to Earth to kill
this... Captain Rubberclaw.
I swear I've seen that head mold somewhere before. And
yeah,
it didn't...
Destro. Asian Destro.
Yeah, that was a better freaking metallic helmet mask than the one we got in the actual G.I. Joe film.
But see, that's actually less bothersome to me than the fact that he tried to be menacing by lifting this supposedly metal claw that wobbles like it's made of rubber. I'm like, yes. You are intimidating with that rubber claw.
So he sends him to kill this guy who, along with a friend, basically built a Stargate.
He was sent him to kill generic Asian scientist who made a horrific discovery. You know, it's Tuesday.
Yeah. And so we meet our hero as a little kid, and he's whining that he forgot his favourite robot toy. Even though his mother is clearly terrified that something's about to crash into their house.
Okay, kids, we have to move out. This land is forsaken. God has forgotten about us. But Mom, my toy.
Fuck your toy. And Dad is just like, oh, it won't take that long. You know, we're only going to get horrifically murdered if we stay.
I love how he says, oh, don't worry, we've got plenty of time. And then BAM! The villain shows up and busts down the door. After sending... hordes of his minions to scout the area.
You seriously just need at least one sub-fix subtitle just going, are you ever tired of being wrong?
You know what? You should have had the mother say that. Aren't you ever tired of being wrong, dear?
Yes. Well, that's who should have said it.
Well, I married you, didn't I?
No, that actually just went a bit too far.
Oh.
Cut the jokes off, Lee. Oh. Cut the jokes off.
At least I'm not making bad Tyler Waldman puns.
Lee, if you made bad Tyler Waldman puns, I would not be on this show. Adam would not be on this show. I think the only person you'd have on is Chris.
Now, Adam still would be on the show because he owes me money.
You poor soul.
He has a mince tab.
Hey, I did reviews for them. I hoard myself out for munch in a way.
Yeah, there's a thing here I probably should want to know about, but terribly don't.
Munch is basically like cheap takeaway for students. It's like, for, what was it, Adam, $1.99? You get 3 strips of chicken and a box of fries and a drink.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, and it's like not tiny portions, quite decent portions.
I don't know. Here, you guys can answer a question for me. Is it true that, like, over yonder on the other side of the pond, Indian food is basically your Chinese takeout?
Well, we have Chinese takeouts over here.
Yeah, but it's like, if you really want to go out, it's, like, Indian food that y'all go for, like, at 3 in the morning.
Well, yeah, we have curry houses, but a lot of it's curry restaurants. And they're open all night, so you have to actually go to the place. Only certain places do take out. And a lot of that is you have to ring up and then go and collect it because it takes so long to cook.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
But we do have Chinese takeouts here, and we have Chippies and McDonald's and...
Yeah, everyone has McDonald's.
I think the McDonald's is open until 5 a.m. in Leicester, ain't it, Adam?
It's pretty late. I'm not entirely sure what time.
Okay. Bima! Right, back to Bima.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
So, yes, after this talk about, you know, McDonald's and takeout, yep, a family gets horribly murdered.
Yep, and a little boy's... upstairs saying, yay, I found my robot toy. Okay, Mummy, we can go now. Boom!
Bollocks.
Mommy?
Who was that that just ran up to the kid and grabbed him?
I think that was the uncle.
The uncle who is never seen again.
He's in the credits. I don't know.
He wasn't in the first two episodes.
He's probably in the third one. I mean, his cousin / brother is the one that gets kidnapped at the end of the first episode.
Oh, was that a cousin?
We keep calling him bro.
It's a foster brother.
Oh, right.
I thought, like,
from what
maybe...
I can tell, this kid totally just got adopted by different people.
Oh, that's what I meant. I thought it was the guy that adopts him that's rescued him.
Yeah, I guess so. Because you got the fakes, the pseudo sister Rena, who no, we're not. We're totally not gonna play up if she's attracted to him angle. And then we have the other one.
Who gets kidnapped.
I get the feeling that's going to happen a lot.
I get the feeling he's going to become their equivalent of Sadder Moon.
Or he may end up being, like, he may actually get the blue gem that Captain Rubberclaw gets. And because apparently he also has one of those weird chest gems.
Ah, so he's going to be like the second hero or something, you think. Okay.
Which would be a great thing to do, actually.
Okay, we need a toy sales spike. Quickly! Repaint the suit blue and say it's his foster brother.
Maybe. And the guy's name is Randy.
Oh yeah, we've got to mention our hero's called Ray, folks.
Yes. Your great Asian hero is called Ray.
We've had worse names. Now,
it's still real... if you're used to watching Japanese show, it's still pretty different. Mm. It'll throw you.
Mm.
I mean, the fact that his actor's name is Christian Loho.
Mm.
Christian. It really, once more, for a person kind of who's used to the Japanese names, it throws you.
Mm.
But that's not a bad thing.
Yeah. It's different.
It is different.
So, after his family's brutally murdered in a house fire, folks, which he miraculously survives, we cut to, like, 20-odd years later, and... Oh boy, this had to be the most slowest invasion ever.
Time dilation fields, man. Time dilation fields. You actually have to... Mind you, they only got there, I think, through one portal that doesn't exist anymore. So they probably had to wait for that other ship with monsters to show up.
Yeah, the ship that looks like the one from Sinkenzo, only it has a tail in it.
Why did they blow up the house with the portal in it?
Maybe... Sorry?
Eastern California?
Trigger happy?
I don't know.
My robot, evil Ace and Destro, go and kill this family for me. Okay. Alright, that's it. Oh, shit. Wait, don't blow up the... What? Never mind.
From what I can tell, the name translates into Iron Mask. Jesus Christ.
Could be worse. We've had worse names in Power Rangers. Loogies, for example.
I know, it's just so it's so uninspired.
I quite like how, like, the basic minions aren't just in morph suits. They've actually got, like, effort put into the costumes.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Those minions look kind of cool. I kind of want a mask of one of the minions.
With those skull heads and everything.
Yeah. And those wobbly sighs that don't cut anyone.
Yeah, it's like, I was thinking, they're just using them as clubs.
Yeah.
It's basically, there's a sharp bit, but then they've decided to cover something over the sharp bit so that it doesn't actually hurt anyone. Except for the fact that they're bludgeoning them to death.
Yeah.
It's so sad.
I kind of love...
Because everything about this is really interesting. And then we get to the fight scenes, which are just so, so weak.
I did like that bit in the park, though, where they're beating up everyone, and like, you know, you got that one guy in the friggin' choice on the unicycle in the background going back and forth, terrified for his life, going, "Oh my god, get out of here! Why did I come on a unicycle?"
Actually, I think he's more thinking, "Why can't I get off the unicycle?
I'm so scared I can't get off this unicycle. Oh dear! Please don't hurt me, maybe friendly aliens. I'm just a harmless streak. Oh god, I said please don't hurt me. Ah, they're clubbing me to death with foam weapons. Ah,
yeah."
So anyway, yeah, sorry to skip ahead, folks, but basically, Ray's non-blood-related love interest convinces him to go down to the park while his foster bro tries out the bike after he fixed it.
It's like, wow, it's like 5 in the morning. How long have you been here? I've been here all night fixing this bike, and I started on this one too. Thanks, bro.
Where's the coffee? I think we're all out. God damn it!
He's just so friendly.
You wouldn't believe his family brutally murdered when he was a small child.
Well, it's been 20 years. If you're not over it by then, you're a Kamen Rider character.
Also, it kind of was entirely his fault. Like, oh, I want my toy. We're about to be brutally murdered. I'm going to go get my toy.
He was like 5. If a 5-year-old actually gets, you know, the weight of things, he must live in a really messed up world.
Like a Kamen Rider character.
Pretty much, yeah.
How many Kamen Rider says we had where, like, the lead hero is from a murdered family and he's still, like, brooding over it, like, 10 to 20 odd years later?
I don't even know. Not as many, but... It's like they Kamen Rider characters just don't get over crap. They don't.
Like Bruce Wayne.
Bruce Wayne is the worst kind of character. And I like Batman, but Bruce Wayne and everything about him that everybody seems to love does not hold up under scrutiny.
It doesn't, sadly. Yes, Bruce, we get it. Your family will horribly murdered. Like all the people the Joker murders because you won't man up and put him down like a dog.
Not even that. Think about it. Bruce Wayne, he has such a long lineage and so much money, but he has no uncles, no aunts, no grandparents. What, no. Was every generation of orphans marrying other orphans? How does this work?
No, all he had was Alfred.
That makes no sense.
So anywho, so... our hero Ray starts hearing voices in his head, folks, and that's when he runs atop to the top of this really tall building where they're reenacting a fight scene from Dragon Knight because it's on a roof.
Or they're reenacting the first fight from Kamen Rider G.
And we got this guy who's dressed up as a wizard named Mikhail.
Yes, incredibly alien names. Rasputin and Mikhail.
Dressed up as a character from Kamen Rider Wizard, might I add. That's what he looks like to me.
Just because a guy's wearing a robe with a hood, you know, and a red lining, fighting off monsters, doesn't make him Kamen Rider Wizard. It makes him a Magiranger.
So basically he goes there, and this Mikhail is sort of doing okay. Ray shows up to try and help him, and then Mikhail gets thrown off the roof, and he's just hanging on for dear life. And then
I wish you hadn't helped me.
So I do love how Ray throws one of the bad guys off the roof as well.
Fine, one for one.
I like to imagine they actually survived the impact, and they landed right in the middle of that park. That's how they got there so quickly.
Hey, look, a crowd.
Murder time!
Murder, death, blood.
What time is it? It's massacre time!
It's Zetsumetsu time! The role of the minions this year will be played by Kivat II.
So basically, Ray manages... Well, as Ray's trying to save Mikhail, he's getting basically pounded by the staff weapons.
stabbity, stabbity, stabbity.
And Pointy starts bleeding. Apparently his blood mixes his with Mikhail's and he had to face the red gem. And if I remember correctly, don't they enter some weird void?
No. Mikhail just sees him and he does the whole, just try to relax, this won't hurt, and then he puts it in and Ray transforms.
Oh yeah, and then the explosion sends all the monsters flying off the roof.
And conveniently then Ray de-transforms.
Yep, you transform this to de-transform to get the plot to transform. Not very convenient.
Oh. Yeah, and then like Mikhail just takes him to the White Void.
The White Void from Manti Ranger.
What is this place? We do not have a very big budget. This is where I come from. You could throw up some curtains.
About painting. I mean, Manti Ranger had the giant, you know, witch goddess lady.
Oh, Magica Soga.
Mm. Yeah, I think it was how pale it made him look. Just it was all like really bright lights.
Yeah, Mikhail's actor looks like he hasn't slept in days.
I haven't. Oh man.
He's secretly Batman. Sorry, Bat Wizard.
Yes. He is secretly Bat Wizard.
Dun 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 dun. Mikhail, why do you keep doing that? This is my theme tune. Dun 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 dun. So time.
Oh me.
Bad, bad, bad wizard. Just be thankful there's no bat mode in Kamen Rider Wizard.
Yes. That's actually a thing everyone is glad for. They're saving that for the team up with Kiva.
Oh. Sorry, Adam?
Now you've suggested the idea. Someone could still one day make it.
Oh, don't start. Then if Feli has a dragon mode, someone could repaint that black. Because that's what that suit needs, more black.
Oh, man. But, okay, where were we?
So, basically, quickly explains to him, okay, this is your new morpher. We're just going to, like, bring it up to the camera really close.
Actually, it's like, you can save the world. Why is it just me? You can save the world.
You've got some weird blood type or some bullshit. I don't care. Look, just hold your morph up to the camera really close like this.
Bye, our toy.
I don't know.
He keeps on saying, like, you're not Ray, you're also Beamer. You've always had Beamer inside of you, and it's like, what is it? Is this some sort of parasite?
Is this some kind of gold?
So I've had Beamer inside of me? No, I haven't, dude. I'm not into that sort of thing. Not what I meant to do.
I would have loved. No, you should have gone with Beamer? Is that what the name of that guy was from the bar?
No.
I know.
You're not allowed to write things, Lee.
I know, I have a filthy mind. I'm sorry.
It's okay to have a filthy mind. You just have to know how to express it.
But anywho, so, I don't know, did this do this with your YouTube link? Just before he goes to save the people who've been blizzing to death in the park, did it cut to a toy commercial for the mask?
Yes.
Yeah.
Indeed.
That
it
was
did.
Part of the end code.
I was howling at that. I was like, he's like, yeah, go and save these people from the park. And then it cuts to, buy this toy, kids! Buy this action figure! Buy this morpher!
You really haven't seen a raw version of a Kamen Rider or a Sentai episode, have you?
Not really.
That is exactly what they do. Like, we're going into commercial. Buy this! Check out the new toy! Check out the Megazord! Check out this! At your local toy store, your parents don't love you if they don't get you this.
Cry until they buy it for you. And if that doesn't work, tell them you'll cut yourself.
Thanks, Lee. So, anywho, who is he? What's it? But yeah, incredibly almost offensive advertisement. Back to the show.
Yeah. So he quickly teleports into the field, park, even though he's just been shown how to morph. He then has to morph again. And, you know, it's in broad daylight. I'm assuming everyone's being distracted by, you know, the monsters killing them.
I don't know, because from the other episodes, I don't think he cares.
Like I said, I've only managed to watch episode 1, thanks to Family Matters.
I know, I understand. I'm
but
just
like
telling
I said,
you.
Like I said, though, we can hopefully get back to episode 2 and 3.
Yeah, he just completely leaves a secret identity. Fuck that noise.
I'm going to be like Tony Stark. Hi, I'm Beamer.
Yeah, he just transforms right up in that shiznit.
And then he goes to fight the monsters, and yeah, I was sort of 50-50 on these fights, if I'm honest.
It was one of the... It was a mediocre Six Flags stunt show.
There've been worse fights in Power Rangers than this.
Saying, I consider the Kamen Rider Double movie a very good Six Flags stunt show.
Hmm.
I like in this how there was one bit in the fight where he defeats several of them with a pose. It's just like, he does a pose and then they all explode. It's like, wait, what's going on here?
So he's an RPM Ranger?
Yes.
Oh, God, they should have done that more in that show. All right, guys, quickly get in the middle of the grinders. Right, morph, pose, explosion. Right, they're all dead. All right, that's our job done. Time to clock out.
If that was how it worked, man.
Thank you. So he manages to fight them off, even though his pseudo-sister, non-blood-related love interest gets kidnapped along with the brother. But we don't know what happens to the brother by the end of this episode, folks. No, he just goes off to save the sort of sister's last love interest. Who's all
which
like,
says so much. It's like, well, my brother got kidnapped. Fuck that noise. I'm going for the girl.
I better save my quote-unquote little sister who is not blood-related to me in any way, shape, or form, sippers. By the way, check out our TV station's website with our new form! Because it works for Nickelodeon, they're full of sippers!
Oh, good God. This show is for 5-year-olds. I don't think shipping is gonna bullshit Edwin.
To be fair, so Samurai, and that has a load of sippers on their forums.
God. Oh, good God. No, that's why I shut myself up, actually. 5-year-olds ship everything.
So anywho, he takes on Evil General Iron Mask. Is that his name?
I don't know. It's the translation. I had to translate the Indonesian page, the Wikipedia entry. And that translates everything regardless of whether it's actually appropriate or not.
I'll be honest, I don't think they actually name him in this. I don't recall them, like, stating his name. It's not like, say, with a Sentai where you get a little subtitle saying, here's the villain, this is his name.
Yeah, because Sentai thinks you're stupid.
So, to be fair to Sentai.
No, this is not Dance Toker Rants. You do not get to say, to be fair.
I was being sarcastic. This is Sentai audience we're talking about. You know, Sentai fans who are all like, I don't like Go On, sir. It's not Sentai enough.
Oh, fuck Go On, sir. I actually hate
Go On.
No, sorry,
not Go On, sir. Sorry, Go Busters.
Yeah.
Seriously, that was someone's complaint on the forum. This feels too Americanized. I want to be more like the Versus V Cinema, where they were the Animal Battery guys. That felt like a Sentai. Wins, wins, wins.
Okay, I finally got the name of Iron Mask. It's like Topeng Bessie.
Okay, Iron Mask was a way better name.
That's like the translation. It's like, well, as far as I can tell, it has right next to it in quotes, Iron Mask. So,
Topeng Bessie.
It's Topeng Bessie. Bessie. Either way, his new name's Master Betty.
Master Betty. Yeah. Someone make that fan film. Evil Rasputin, must kill the chosen one.
No. Once you see the mastered Rasputin, you have to turn this into VR Troopers 2.0. You have to get Chris and find you know, Ryan Steele, and you have to make this VR Troopers, because that is Grim Lord. If Grim Lord was fabulous.
If Grim Lord owned Apocalypse.
Dude, that's what he's like. This guy is so... He's got, like, gemstones hanging off of him and bone protrusions. He is effing fabulous.
Seriously, though, that's, that whole planet that they're on, though, where they're running out of resources, you know, the alien homeworld, that looks like Apocalypse to me.
I don't see any flame vents or whatever that is.
Well, it needs a flame vent. It just looks like really, you know, evil city-looking place.
Yes.
You know, yes. Life is cruel on this world.
Life is cruel on this world with no raw elements.
We're running low on resources, just like in Spaceballs.
Oh, God. So, yeah, you can tell how Ledford kind of pad this out, folks, because we are actually out of material. It literally is him going to save non-romantic love interest.
Quote, unquote.
Yes. He shows up, Captain Rubber Claws, Master Benny shows up, and they start to have a fight. And that's where the episode cuts off.
And I swear to God, some of those fight choreography moves screamed MMPR movie to me. Like, he tries doing the corkscrew kick.
He keeps doing it. It does not stop.
I keep expecting in a later episode we're going to go home to see his bedroom, and this is going to be an MMPR movie poster on the wall.
We have seen his bedroom, and it doesn't.
Aww.
I know, sorry to spoil the fantasy.
So he's not a Toku nerd?
No.
Aww. That would explain so much, though. Why he keeps doing the fucking corkscrew kick.
It's an East Asian martial arts production. Mm. They freaking love wire work, even when it's not Toku. I saw a show called My Girlfriend is a Nine-Tailed Fox or something like that. I think it was like a K-drama. Mm. And one of the first things we see of this guy in this overly long episode is him like practicing how to be an actor and doing wire work. I'm like, oh, God.
That wasn't a live-action version of that really creepy anime Kanokon, was it?
No.
Because that's
Kanokon is about when your girl is a nine-tailed fox and she wants to have sex with you. This is about having a girlfriend who's a nine-tailed fox and she's always eating your lip.
I couldn't catch that last bit. You're breaking up.
Sorry.
It's
alright. Kanokon is when, you know, your girlfriend is a nine-tailed fox and she wants to do horribly immoral things to you.
Hmm.
This show, your girlfriend is a nine-tailed fox, and unless she gets her way, she's going to eat you. And I don't mean that in any innuendo way. She will eat him, probably.
You just cut me off, folks, to make a joke. To say, good sir.
I have to, because your jokes are terrible.
Oh.
Help me out here. Will you not tell horrible jokes?
Oh, some of the worst. No offense.
You can buy your own food from now on, you traitor. Anywho, folks, so yeah, the episode ends with a cliffhanger with him trying to defeat, you know, Master Betty, Rubberclaw, and then, you know, we get the... Did we get the preview for episode 2 before or after the credits?
Before.
And we get a preview where he's going off to save his brother that's been kidnapped, even though the preview sort of gives you this idea that maybe he went home to chill out before going to rescue his brother, which I would actually love if they actually did that in the show.
That would actually be pretty freaking sweet. Like, okay, I need a minute. Give me some time, okay?
Just goes home, and then you hear that background music from Naruto. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do-do-do. As he's like, you know, putting some laundry out, making some ramen, watching a bit of TV, drinking a Coke, doing his toenail, you know, just doing any old shit to try and delay going out to rescue his brother. And then he's like, oh, well, I've cleaned up the house, I've resorted my finances for the tax year, I better go save my bro.
Why didn't you come get me sooner? You were lost?
Oh, yeah, you got kidnapped. Oh, sorry, bro. I went back to the garage to work on another bike, and I just lost track of time. You know what I'm like. You're still cool, though, right, bro?
You're disinherited.
Ah, don't be like that, bro.
They've only just started to kidnap the sister, and it's just like straight there.
Yeah. Oh, God, now that would make the most awkward family reunion. She's all like, ah, oh, he rescued you. Yeah, yeah, he did. Great job, bro. Ah, did he come and rescue straight away like he rescued me? Wait, what?
Wait, what?
I was tied up for 5 hours in chains. I was regular pizza with paddles and waterboarded.
Awkward.
And you came and rescued Earth in 5 fucking minutes? What the hell, bro?
I will say this much. The fact that the first, in all seriousness, the first 2 episodes absolutely being about him just rescuing his family is actually kind of believable. It's like, fuck the world. I'm taking care of my family.
Well, like I said, hopefully we can cover episode 2 and 3 in a later podcast, because, like I said, gah, fucking family matters. Because I really wanted to watch episode 2 after watching episode 1, but then shit happened.
That does say a lot about a show that, you know, you're motivated to actually watch episode 2.
Yeah, it is worth checking out, folks. It's a pretty fun show.
Yeah, and it's something new. It's a different narrative.
Yeah. I mean, we've also got a new Ultraman Ginga coming up. I was, like, so patiently waiting for subs for that as well. It's just nice to have something new out, you know? I mean, because we haven't had a new Ultraman series in such a long time as well. Now we've got BMAO, which people are taking the effort to get encodes and subbing it on YouTube as well.
It's a good time to be a Toku fan.
Unless you really, really wanted Giant God Attack Force, then tough luck.
Well, you know what? That'll come in time. Right now, we've got one new Toku that's actually getting an encode. We've got, you know, Kyoryuger, which is amazing in spite of everything that should be working against that show.
I love Sunny Chiba as the Violet Ranger.
It's not Sunny Chiba.
That isn't?
It's Shigeru Chiba.
Sorry, I can't.
Yeah, he's the voice of Kuwabara, or yeah, Buggy the Clown.
Yeah, he's also a narrator for the show, ain't he?
Yeah. Even better, try this. For all the fans out there, if you know who, look up the man, for the love of fuck. Oh, just to give me a second, I have to look this, up this name.
I'll edit it, don't worry.
Yeah, you talk amongst yourselves.
No. So, Adam, what do you think of the show?
Well, some of the fights were a bit dodgy, but overall it was pretty good. The costumes are amazing, for sure.
Oh, yeah, I thought the costumes looked really nice. Except for the flappy weapons that clearly look plastic. But, yeah, some really nice-looking suits in the show. There's a lot of care and effort put into this, unlike, say, Zydo. They just flung any old shit on the actors.
I mean, first, I'd even argue that they put a little bit more effort in than some of the Power Ranger villains. Maybe not a lot, but...
Well, Kyoga has got a bit of effort in this year's villains, but yeah, I know what you mean. There have been some years where it looks like they've not really cared. But we've also had quite a lot where we've had human-type villains, so... There's not really much, unless they have a monster mode, you don't really see it.
I actually prefer more humanish, but like not big rubber suits, though I appreciate what you have to do with them. There we go, now I got the name. Do either of you know who Norio Wakamoto is?
I've heard the name before, but I'm not 100% sure.
He's done a million voices. He did the voice of the king in Code Geass.
Oh,
he's
right.
Done, he's the guy who talks like this.
Are you going to tell me he's playing the evil Death Kyoga in the movie?
No.
Oh.
However, replace anything the narrator does with him, and it instantly gets funnier. Kyoryu, Plus Ningen, Saidai, Saishura. It instantly is funnier because he is so amazingly over the top. Even more than Shigeru Chiba, who has that voice. He's just so insanely manly. Gaburin Cho.
Alright, so is he in Kyoryuger then?
No, he is not in Kyoryuger as far as I could tell. And it's not Kyoryuger. Kyoryuger, like Ranger.
Kyoryuger. That Dino Sentai there.
My god, Lee, you are Tyler Waldman.
I'm just staring evilly at my Skype right now. I just want you to know that.
I'm sure I'll be fine.
I will find you! Anywho, folks. So we do grades for episode one?
Yeah, I think we're actually out of things to talk about now.
Yeah, my bad. Like I said, I couldn't get to episode two.
This show is not that much. We wouldn't have had much to talk about if we had all three anyway.
Yeah, it's a fun show, though.
It is a fun show, but we like to stress that.
We like to stress that to our listeners. This is a show worth checking out.
It was. It was very amusing. For reasons that are that were meant, and for reasons that absolutely were not meant.
Okay, then. So, out of five. Edwin, seeing how you chose this one to review, you want to go first?
It's a pretty solid 3 out of 5, 3.5 out of 5.
Hmm.
You know, it's not the best thing, and it does have its flaws, just because Indonesia isn't used to making tokusatsu.
Hmm.
But it's got some good ideas, and it's a lot of fun. And if you really like 80s toku, if you're into that, this hits all of that.
I just hope they don't go the Kamen Rider route and give them like a gazillion upgrades throughout the series.
Yeah, I mean, keep it simple.
Because that's one of my biggest complaints with, like, Wizard and Fosei. And I guess, well, not really such as O's, because they took the time, but with Wizard and Fosei, it's all of a sudden he has a land mode, he has a water mode, he has a sky mode,
so
he's got
you're
dragon
basically
mode.
Against the Tokusatsu's new thing of trying to sell as many toys as you can.
I don't mind an upgrade, it's just having, like, a new upgrade every episode kind of pisses me off a bit.
Fair enough.
Like, say, a new upgrade every 5 to 6 episodes. Or it doesn't even have to be an upgrade. A brand new weapon would be just fine.
Yeah, I mean, spread those upgrades, weapons, yeah. Tools, whatever.
I mean, it's like in Fosei. If they didn't have the other switches and just had, like, the fire switch, the magnet switch, the electric switch, but spread it out before you got Cosmos complete, whether it was towards the end, to spread them out a bit, I would have been a lot more happier.
Yeah, but that, like I said, Japanese toku have a lot of, especially with in the past few years, really have a lot of problems with their pacing.
Mm. So, yeah, Adam, what's your grade?
Yeah, I'd probably say about 3.5, because it's it really is quite good. It's, you know, it was entertaining, and I wanted to watch more of it.
Mm.
It did have a few flaws, but you know, it was the flaws didn't really stand out, so it didn't really make the show bad.
Oh, that's fair enough. I'm going to give it 3 out of 5. It's a pretty solid premiere. I mean, we got such an info dump in the first episode as well.
That was a very dense first. That was a very dense first half of the first episode.
Yeah, we got all the plot details though before the episode ended. If you know what I mean. It's not like say recent. It's not like, say, PR during Disney, where they spread out the premiere across a two-parter.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hmm?
Sorry about that.
Sorry.
I was told I look swanky.
How nice. You know, it kind of reminds me of Megaforce in the sense of, hey, kids, you're Rangers now. Go fight shit.
It's so much. And you find out just how much later that Mikhail is almost Nimbar.
Oh.
I can't understand what he's saying because I didn't have subtitles, but it's like he doesn't give a fuck at all. As long as this guy fights, he does not care.
It's like I said, he looks like he hasn't slept in days, that actor. I don't know if it's just the makeup or the look they're going for, but that actor looks like he hasn't slept in days.
Man, whenever we get to, you know, to have Tattoo Teenage Alien Fighters, I have things to go off on Nimbar.
Hopefully next week.
Yeah, hopefully.
So keep an eye out for that episode, folks.
Mm-hmm.
So, for now, folks, I'd like to thank Edwin and Adam for joining me tonight.
Night, everybody.
Alright, good night, listeners, and thank you for listening.
We didn't know what it was. Not at first, anyways. Just that it was an alien construct drifting in the asteroid field between Mars and Jupiter. My name is Nicholas Lancer. I was chosen to lead a mission of exploration to learn the secrets hidden within the construct. But I had no idea what we would find, or what would happen to us. And now, I would give anything, anything at all, if we could just find the way home.
From Eric Busby, the creator of the Section 31 Files, comes an all-new original science fiction adventure, Far Horizons. Coming soon, only from DarkerProjects.com.